This hour of Phil Hendry is brought to you by Dynapep Micro Energy Shot.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Jim, well, look, congratulations for coming back.
We don't have a philosophic disagreement. If you agree...
But it makes a lot of sense, because after all, Mr. Obama cannot control the Iranians.
Andrew's parents, Walter and Judy Koenig, are in Vancouver helping police search for their son.
You know how many people like guns and dip?
Yay!
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about every night. And on this program, truth is our bitch. Now, you know that we also like to play around with reality a little bit, if you don't mind us using that phrase. We take the news, the issues, we shove it through the looking glass, we do an Alice in Wonderland on it, and it comes out smelling like a rose, baby. So just stick around. Stick around, side. Give it a couple of weeks. You're going to figure this one out. And like we always like to say in this show, when we say you need a couple of weeks to figure this show out, we ain't kidding. You need a couple of weeks to figure this show out. All right, coming up, Canadian teachers perform a lap dance in front of their students. Now, it was a pep rally. And, of course, here in America, were you a teacher and you did a lap dance in front of your students, you'd be shot, as you know. You'd be shot right where you stand, right where you danced. But in Canada, they're a little, you know, they're on the back end of that stuff, so they're getting up to speed. And pole dancing, speaking of being shot at a pep rally while doing a bump and grind, pole dancing may become an Olympic sport. And a teenager is jailed for blackmailing male students into gay sex over at Facebook. Thank you.
That was you, huh?
Yeah, thank you very much. No, actually, that is a weird story, and we're going to get into that. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Phil, we're going to be bringing on the line here Vernon Dozier. He is a high school teacher from Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. He is also the school varsity football coach. He is also a member of the board there, the administrative board at Belmar Academy. This story about pole dancing being pushed to possibly be a competitive sport in the Olympics may be bizarre for some of us to hear. It certainly sounds strange to me, but nonetheless, I mean, if they've got things like synchronized swimming and that feather thing that they do, or whatever the hell that thing is, I suppose pole dancing is the next thing. I'm reading the story here, Vernon. How are you this evening?
I'm doing very good, Phil. Thank you for talking with me about this. It is unusual, but I can tell you that that the nature of sport changes all the time. And the nature of competitive sports changes all the time. So I think we have to be ready and keep our minds open.
Now, here is a story. This is from AOL News. Pole dancing, the titillating mainstay of strip clubs throughout the globe, may one day be an Olympic sport, reports the New York Daily News. KT Coates, a pole dancer in England, and fellow advocates are circulating a petition for a test event at the Olympics and a more formal event in Rio de Janeiro. Currently, they have 4,000 signatures. Pole dancing is I know that they have pole dancing classes. I know it started among suburbanites as a way for, well, women to stay in shape. Some women said they got into it because it was a sort of an exciting addition to their the amorous life they shared with their husbands. Maybe it was something they did for boyfriends. But now we're talking about it as a competitive sport. Do you know precisely what makes this quote-unquote competitive?
Well, it's like, Phil, if you will, it would be like figure skating, or it could be like high diving or springboard diving. In other words, you get points for style. You get points for different moves. These would be required moves, and then you could score points for invented moves. I think that as an athletic coach, as a teacher, I have to, as I said, I've got to be prepared and make my students prepared for anything that is likely to come down the road in terms of what a student may be interested in, what might be required of them once they get to college. If, for instance, a sport like this is if develops to a competitive level at the collegiate level, then it is incumbent upon us at the scholastic level, at the high school level, to prepare our students for that.
So are you offering pole dancing now in high school?
No, we're not. not answering. We're not offering pole dancing now. We have to go about this in a way that is going to be absolutely above board. Because, you know, when you say pole dancing, the first thing you think about is, as you said in that story, is a strip club or something that's very unseemly. And that's not what this is about. If we have young women at the high school level who want to engage in a competitive aspect of this thing called pole dancing, then we have to make sure that it is completely above board, that it has absolutely no implication, no flavor of anything that would be wrong. So,
are you doing any kind of pole dancing at the school? From the standpoint of what you're talking about, where it's a very above board and you're teaching these kids, I don't even, just the idea of pole dancing, it seems like it's not even appropriate for high school.
I don't like the name. I wish that we could call it something else. For now, it's called pole dancing. I suppose we could call it balance dancing. I think it requires a certain level of balance or equilibrium. I don't know. Stationary dancing, something like that. But we have to be completely above board. So we cannot have this on campus. We can't have, for instance, our female students coming into a gym or coming into a workout room where they're is a pole and have a teacher such as myself or someone else sitting there grading them and watching them do a pole dance. See, you're not going to get people understanding exactly what it is you're doing. It's going to take a lot of explanation. So what we've done is we've engaged it off campus.
Where off campus?
We have the pole dancing classes on Saturdays and on Friday afternoons at my home. My wife is there, so both my wife and I actually are part of the coaching staff at the high school. My wife has been a part of the girls' volleyball team as well as the basketball team for 4 years, but now she's going to be helping me with the pole dancing classes. And so we have it off campus. We have it at my house.
The girls, I take it, have their parents' permission?
Well, that is the part that we are working through. Yes, we do want the parents' permission, absolutely. It is difficult to say to a parent or to put into a piece of any kind of missive from the school, we'd like to get your permission that your daughter take pole dancing, because immediately they're going to say no without even understanding it. I just know parents, God bless them, they are the lifeblood of our school, but they are, many of them are very small-minded, and they don't get the big picture and the big world that's out there. And it's a big world. There's a lot of chances for people like myself, my wife, and our pole dancing students. So what I say to the girls, I say, look, let's do what we're going to try to do is 6 weeks of intensive preliminary pole dance initiation. And then send the girls out in groups of two every 2 weeks with letters to their parents saying, Mom and Dad, is it all right if I take this class off campus at Arlene Dozier's house? It is a dance class. Yes or no?
Well, why would you say Arlene is your wife?
That's correct.
Why not? You don't put your name down?
If I put my name down, then it says, I want to take a dance class over at Arlene and Vernon Dozier's house. Now I look like, you know, forgive me, Phil, but as I said, a lot of these parents are very small-minded. Now they're going to think their daughter's dancing at my house. I'm a man, and there's something untoward about it. So I want to keep everything above board.
Yeah, but if you're not telling them, all right, so you want to make sure that the parents, you want to make sure that nothing, you can't be accused of anything strange, because the sport itself is a little strange.
Absolutely, Phil. When you say we're teaching pole dancing, you're going to get a lot of people looking at you funny. If you say we're teaching pole dancing at my house on Friday afternoon and Saturday, they're going to look at you even funnier. And if you say that we're teaching pole dancing at my house on Friday and Saturday, and I'm going to ask the parents to give their permission, they're gonna try to lock you up and throw the key away, because the first thing they're gonna say is, no parent is gonna give permission for their daughter to go over to your house and learn how to pole dance. So what we have to do, Phil, is be very careful. We have to let the parents know this is a proposed Olympic sport, that my wife is going to be there, that the girls, there's a change room for them, that the pool itself is set up in a room that's, you know, my wife is in there. So in other words, it's we got to go at this very slowly, Phil.
Why even go through the hassle of having a pole dance class?
Well,
I mean, what's the, you know, right now it's just a proposal by a group of people in England. Why would you even want to go through the hassle of having a pole dance class with all of these things that you're facing, with the misunderstanding parents? You know?
Well, you know, it's a good question, but I feel that as a teacher I've got to push my students. The minute I saw that they were proposing pole dancing, I thought, this is very, very ingenious. This is, how can I get this into our high school without people thinking that, you know, we're sick, you know? But I said, I've got to see this. And so, and I didn't mean to say that I've got to see this, and I want to see a bunch of high school girls do it. I just want to, you know, how would they do this?
All right, Vernon Dozier is joining us. We've known Vernon for a long time. He's the head football coach at Belmar Academy. They've won something like how many? They've won five divisional championships in varsity football there, and he has been the athletic director there as well as a member of the administrative board for a long time. And they are now getting a group of girls together to take a pole dancing class because it has been proposed that pole dancing be a part of the next Olympics in Rio de Janeiro. So his idea is to get these girls, to get them practicing pole dancing, but he hasn't told the parents yet, and the classes are being held at his house on Friday and Saturdays, and the girls are only gradually going to get parents' permission because the parents, in the words of Mr. Dozier, are a little close-minded and small-minded, and they won't understand the idea of pole dancing as an Olympic sport. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. This is wild, and if they ever do have pole dancing in the Olympics, I would love to see, like we were saying, how they're going to score it and what it's going to look like. 877-876-PHIL. More with Vernon Dozier next, plus your phone calls on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We are with Mr. Vernon Dozier, who is athletic director, varsity high school football coach at Belmar Academy, and one of a number of athletic directors across our country, interested in exploring the idea of pole dancing at the high school level because they are proposing it for the Olympics in 2012, which means, Vernon, that you not only have proficient professionals, right?
Well, that's correct, Phil. At the Olympic level, because they don't have the amateur, necessarily amateur, the prohibition against professionals. So that's a very highly developed level. And then you have the collegiate level. So if they have a collegiate level and they have obviously professional level, we owe it to our students and we owe it to our schools to begin to develop at some level in some way pole dancing.
So have you already started? Now, you're conducting classes, and you've been very clear. You're conducting classes with students, with girls, without their students' permission at your home, with your wife there.
Yeah, I want you to be very clear that with my wife is there, and the girls have a changing area that I'm not going back there and looking at them as they're taking their, you know, taking their jeans off or anything. Now, we film, we actually videotape all of the sessions, and I was hopeful that we can sit down with the parents and show the parents the videotape of their daughters. We've got a number of girls that've got great extension. They've got great flexibility. Part of this is to get your extension and flexibility, and you can execute these moves. So we've got some girls.
How old are the girls in the pole dancing class?
Anywhere from 15 to 17. So we got our sophomores through. We do have a freshman class. We don't allow our freshmen.
Why not the freshmen?
We don't think they're old enough for it. It's a little adult, and it's got, I'm sure you understand.
Yeah, but you're taking very great pains.
No, but you're right about that. But I wouldn't feel right. Right now, I'm a little nervous about it. But anyway, they're 15 to 17 years of age, Phil.
All right, so they're 15 to 17 years of age. Now, you say that the kids enjoy it?
The kids enjoy it.
And what feedback? So the parents don't know? Are any parents signing off on this?
Well, a couple of the parents that have been approached have been a little closed-minded, but that's the nature of parents. They tend to be closed-minded. They tend to be a little narrow-minded. I don't know if it's because they wish they were young again, and they're not. They get a little sour, so we have to be very careful. One or two of the parents that we just sort of canvassed came across a little tight, you know, as we used to say, tight ass. So we've got to go back and readdress that problem.
All right, Vernon Dozier with us here on pole dancing as an Olympic sport and pole dancing at the high school level as an athletic class. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Peter. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Peter with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead, sir.
Well, thanks for having me on, Phil. Listen,
yes.
This is a very interesting topic. You know, you keep saying that you're nervous, Mr. Dozier, and you know, I could say that probably in the level of divisional championships for varsity high school football programs, you're probably pretty fantastic, but this probably is a level where you should really examine this. I mean, think about it. Why are parents maybe a little creeped out? I mean, the only thing that pole dancing is associated with...
I only said that I was nervous once. I only said I was nervous one time.
Well, it sounds to me like you sound a little nervous. You're having the kids go in twos, and you're not telling them that you're doing this program. You're doing it off campus. All these things should be red flags for you, and here's why I say so. The only thing that pole dancing...
Yeah, tell me why you say so. Are you a teacher, or what do you
do? One second. I'm actually a pastor, and so I'm speaking at it from the moral level that you keep alluding to. Yeah, let me allude to this here, why the moral level is important. We have kids that are having sex at age 14 and so on and so forth. We're having highest birth rates for kids that are before they're even 18, before they even out of high school.
Whoa. Where are you going, man? I'm talking about an athletic competition, and you're talking about pregnancy? You know, I think your mind needs to be looked at. You're indicting what I do, sir. You're indicting what I do.
You're indicting yourself, and let me speak about it here for a second, and I'll tell you why.
If you call yourself a pastor and you start talking about sex, I think you indict what you do as well.
All right, let's have a civil conversation here. Go ahead, Pastor.
Give me a second, mister. Thank you. I appreciate that. Here's my view, okay? You're discussing it from a moral level. All right. So here's the issue.
Yeah, go ahead. Give me your view. What's your view?
The only thing that pole dancing is associated with is the very perversion that you've been talking about, the unseemly sort of background that this so-called sport has is
perversion. It's illegal. Men, people go into bars to watch. I wouldn't call it perverted. It's an adult.
Then why is it that you're hiding it? Why are you hiding it from the parents? Why is it that you've got to do it off campus?
Well, I think I've answered that question because a lot of parents are closed-minded. They're very small.
Closed-minded to what? Their children being presented with this sort of information at a young age, and now you want to do it and call it an Olympic sport. I mean,
well, I don't know why, but you immediately call it perverted, and I would ask you, are you saying that the many women that engage in pole dancing as a recreation, they're perverted? That you're saying? Because I think that's what you're doing.
As a recreation?
Are you saying that, the women use it as an exercise, and if you're not familiar with that, then I question whether you're a pastor or not. Women use it as an exercise, they use it as a way of relaxing, but you call them perverted.
Now, listen, I'm saying to you that the association, and you should catch this part, the association to the actual sport which you're alluding to.
You know something? You're a real smartass, aren't you? You're a real smartass, aren't you? I bet you hide behind that turnaround. You hide behind the turnaround caller?
I appreciate that.
Are you really?
I haven't called you any names yet.
No, but you're laughing. You think you got it all over me.
You're associating.
Let me ask you something. Are you Jewish?
Okay, no, what's that supposed to mean?
I know. That
he's a pastor. He's a Christian pastor, so I guess that he wouldn't be.
Yeah,
no,
thanks.
This guy starts coming on asking me about... He's coming on and asking me about perversion.
Let me just make my point, and then I'll get off the phone here, Phil, and let you continue this conversation.
Do you ever, you know what I'm saying? You guys have been indicted for this stuff, too, you know?
Vernon, you're very defensive. This gentleman is asking... You're very defensive. He's asking good questions. You know...
Well, he's a immediately calling it perverted.
I understand he's saying that it's perverted, but you, and he's right, you yourself alluded to a nervousness or a trepidation talking to the parents about this. Listen, we have to take a break. 877-876-PHIL. What do you think? This man, a college or high school teacher, is having pole dancing classes. 877-876-PHIL. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
God, that guy's a smart ass.
Phil, you know, this started with this article here on pole dancing in the Olympics.
Well, I think, Mr. Hendry, that's why I agreed to come on your program to talk about that.
I know that, but in preparing young women for a pole dancing exhibition in the Olympics, which may or may not take place, and I don't even know if it's going to be competitive. They usually have it as an exhibition sport, and then in 4 years they have it as an actual competitive event.
I understand that.
All right, but when you have 15 to 17-year-old girls taking a pole dancing class at your house, you're videotaping it. You admitted that you're looking at them as sex objects because that's how they're going to be viewed. You say that some of these girls have got no future. They come from troubled pasts. You pretty much as much say that they are candidates for being strippers, you know, and like they're human refuse.
No. That's where that preacher and that other guy, I forget who, both of those guys ganged up on me. It was like a tag team, those two, saying that I'm a pervert, and then the other guy saying that it basically saying I was a pervert too. That's what I resent.
Well, when you say that you're looking at these girls and you got 100 hours of videotape of a 15-year-old pole dancing that you're going to really miss, people are going to be talking like that. Here is Lisa in New York on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Lisa. You're on with Mr. Vernon Dozier.
Okay, how you doing, Phil? I really, really am upset and disgusted as to what this so-called teacher is saying, because I'm a parent myself, and if it's so innocent and what you're doing, why are you not letting the parents know? And if it's not anything that's sick and perverted, why can't you tell the parents? And also, if you're such a great teacher and you're teaching them to do something, why not teach them? Why not educate them? Why not give them a book? Why not take them to the library? Why not take them to the museum? Teach them about.
Well, because a lot of these girls, you know, it's too late. They're going to wind up. This is a skill.
How do you know that?
What do you mean too
late? Like,
15-year-old girls.
Go to TalkRadioNetwork.com for more information. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. And with me, Guy Barton and Kurt Quitty from the West Virginia State Legislature as we talk about the role of our elected representatives in our everyday lives, and whether or not we give them respect. I mean, it's, I know that you're talking here, Guy and Kurt, about getting respect, and that is, getting the respect of the constituents, that they communicate with you respectfully, that they're not insulting. Is that essentially the, because you're saying that you're not going to do their work.
Hold on, Phil. I'm almost there. Is it too much to ask for a letter not asking me to do something? Can't you just write me a note saying, hey, we like you, you know. Voters always asking for stuff, a bunch of things they need, like they want, you know.
Yeah, that's the other thing, Phil.
What are you saying, that the voters are always asking for something?
That's something, yeah. And so I say to them, there's something different here in West Virginia, that we would like people to write us letters. And they're going to say, well, we're not asking for anything. We don't want nothing. We don't want a sewer system. We don't want this. We just want to say, They're doing a very good job, you know. So they're not whining and crying, you know.
The man flying an airplane. You see what I've done?
Yeah, well, that's a good point, you know, about Joe Stack.
Well, you said that Joe Stack flying that airplane now makes you guys even more sympathetic to the IRS.
That's what it's going to do. Now, whatever we can do to support the IRS, we're going to do double.
Right, because of Joe Stack.
Well, I mean, that sounds a little childish, doesn't it?
How's that childish? Are you crazy, man? Boy, he's crazy.
You're crazy, man.
Are you
No, I'm saying, isn't that childish to base your support of the IRS on the fact that you don't like Joe Stack, so therefore you're going to support the IRS more?
Well, see, what you know, you got to understand, Joe Stack pissed me off. And excuse my language, I have to, you're going to talk direct to me, Phil. I'm going to talk direct to you. Joe Stack pissed me off when he fly a plane, because he's saying, all you people there, man, watch this. Oh, yeah, you don't know what I can do. So I said, look at this. Here's something I'm going to do. I don't care about the IRS anymore, not care about sweeping you off into a hefty bag, you know, or vacuuming you up with a Hoover. I go ahead and sprinkle you at sea.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to Hank. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hank, go ahead, sir.
Hi, good evening, Phil. I apologize
yes, sir.
For nothing. I apologize for nothing. I always start any forum like that because in this apologist society they want us to be in, I apologize for nothing. I've done nothing wrong. Anyway, Kurt. I almost started laughing listening. I said, surely Phil's got a ringer in here or something tonight, you know, talking like this, because this guy's not.
You know what?
Good.
I'd believe that, too. I would believe that, too, Hank, if I didn't know these guys for the last year. But sometimes I got to tell you, Kurt, you come off sounding like you are kidding.
Well, I tell you, Phil, I take my job serious.
Well, there's two things that really upset me listening to you. First off, you're going to take revenge, okay? You're going to take revenge on the public dime against an individual, okay? You got to be thick-skinned. You can't be thin-skinned and be in politics. That leads me to the second thing you said that gives me less and less respect for you. You said it hurts your career. Anytime a politician starts talking career, he's just lost me. He lost any respect I may have. If you want a 25-year career in politics, you're not the kind of guy I want there.
Now, hold on for a minute. You look at, but you start what you just said now. You're talking all, you see, now how am I going to respect you or do what you want me to do when you talk about me?
I don't need your respect. I neither desire nor want your respect, okay? I don't want respect for a man
like
you.
Then I ain't going to do anything for you when I'm elected a representative. You know, you got
all I can do is try to vote you out and get you out of there. You don't need to be in public service at all. You don't need to be holding a stop sign in the street at a bus crossing. I mean,
are you trying to tell me, like, I'll give you an example of something. They want a sewer system in the southern part of the state in a place called Ridley.
This
is the southern part of the state. It's very poor. But I got a letter from them that started off, dear Mr. Senator, we need a sewer system. There was nothing in that letter that said, how are you? Pleased to make your acquaintance.
We got a normal salutation. A normal salutation. That's
wait a minute. These are people, they're poor people, you said, and they're looking for a sewer system. What is it that they did wrong?
What is it they did wrong? They write like, and I don't want to use the term. You know the term. I know the term. Whatever you say, white trash. They're not white trash.
Okay, so now the elitist part of you, Kurt.
I'm looking for just a little bit of respect.
You're ignorant, you're elitist, and you're a career politician. So that's three strikes. Brother, you're out. They need to vote you out. Three strikes. Career politician who's
that may well be.
Yeah, you need
that
to be
may well be. But do you realize how you pissed me off too? You call me ignorant.
I don't care. So you need to be. You need to be.
Well, that means I'm going to be even less responsible.
But what? Wait a minute,
Kurt. You can cure ignorance. You can't cure stupidity, but you can do something about ignorance through education.
If
that's where your problem lies, you need more
education.
You
do a lot of talking.
Kurt.
Why don't you run for elected office, okay?
I can't stand the pay cut, buddy. I don't want to be a career politician. I've got a career.
So you expect me to do all this work, and you want to pay me dog wages?
No, I expect you to step down.
Every
position ought to be part-time, okay? Do you have a full-time position?
Well, wait a minute.
Do you have a full-time position in the legislature?
That's a personal question, isn't it?
Is it a full-time position? I mean, is that your job in life?
He's got a full-time position. His full-time position with Rosie over here.
Yeah, that's my full-time position.
See, that's a mistake right there. You ought to be up there tonight lobbying to make sure that every political appointment, every political elected official is a part-time position. It should never be a full-time position.
You know, you do a lot of talking. You ain't doing no listening, son. You're doing a lot of talking. You ain't doing no listening. I'm telling you.
Well, no,
I love to do everything that you want me to do.
I'd
like to do everything you do, but I ain't going
to
do nothing as long as you talk. You're talking like you trouble me like a woman, you know.
Oh, come on. Don't start talking. Now you're getting insulting.
No. I swear, this man, he got no... I come to call him no ears, like in a movie.
But the man's point is a very good point. You cannot treat voters with disrespect. They'll vote you out.
No, that's what he got wrong. He knows as well as I do, voters in this country don't vote nobody out. They keep everybody in, and that's the way it ought to be. But you want me to fund the veterans? You want me to fund the veterans center? Yes, you do. Well, I don't like you, and I'm not going to support it now. You see what he did?
Well, Phil, that man's not even from.
If that's the condition of politics in West Virginia, no wonder it's the poorest state in the union, and no wonder it's the most ignorant state in the union.
That's Mississippi. That ain't West Virginia. So you got to start.
West Virginia, on a relative basis, is much worse off.
No, wrong. I just got the statistic. I can show you. And because of you open your mouth tonight, there ain't going to be no veteran senate. We're going to vote out for 2 weeks.
Yeah, he just decided.
Hey, that's
why?
Saying.
Because this guy's from Tennessee.
You see what he did? Look what he did. And the people of West Virginia are going to thank you for that.
No. The people of West Virginia know that you were being petty and you're blaming it on Hank.
No, Hank started going da 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 da. So guess what? Now there ain't going to be no vote.
All right, Hank, thank you very much. I don't think anybody's blaming you.
And then, like I said, I pity the people of West Virginia if this is what they have for representation. Bless their hearts. I wish they'd go ahead and
pity the people of West Virginia.
But God bless you all here. But I'm enjoying the show regardless, and God bless all of you.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you for your call.
He ruined it all. Now, how come you're giving him all kind of deference and everything?
Yeah, you're licking it up. You're licking it up one side and down the next, Bill.
No, excuse me, guy. No, I'm not licking anything up one side and down the next. I'm listening to that man, and I'm simply saying to you, Kurt, why you would blame the non-passage of that Veterans Center.
I'm using that as an illustration of what I'm trying to say, and you ain't going to want to get it.
What don't I get?
I said that man called up. He called me bad. Why don't you give out the phone number there?
Yeah, give that phone number out, Doug. It's going to have people call.
Yeah, I'll give the phone number out, guys, but I'm asking you why you blamed him. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Forgive me. 877-876-PHIL. Why did you blame him?
I blame him because I'm here. I'm talking to you. And a veteran sent us up. Now, here come a man from Tennessee. He's going, hey, you this, you that. You a pile, man. You a pile. You a pile and a half, man. There are a whole passel of flies who lay their eggs in you. Like I'm a mounded turd, you know. I said, just for that. Well, guess what? Now, ain't going to be no veteran center.
Yeah, he bought it. He stepped in it good.
Oh, yeah, he stepped in it. He ain't going to get that rinsed off.
877-876-PHIL. I don't know why you'd blame him. Here is Chip on the Phil Henry Show. Chip, go ahead. You're with Guy Barton and Kurt Queedy.
My basic thought is I'm sitting here listening to these two elected representatives, and I guess my thought is that the only way they're going to earn respect is by actually representing the voters and not their own little petty agenda. And I need to finish.
Yes,
I think elected representatives ought to have some maturity and some common sense, and they need to listen to the voters, or they need to be put out.
You're wrong there. You're wrong.
I don't think I'm wrong. I think you need to listen to voters.
We've been listening to voters. We've been listening to voters for a long
you
time.
You don't listen to the voters, and you need
yes,
to vote,
well,
and you need to represent the people.
We listen to them, but they don't make no sense.
Yeah, what do you do when the voters don't make no sense? See, what you do, you have to lead then, and then I lead, and they write me a letter, and they call me a dog. They say, this man's a dog. I get that in letters. And so that says to me, I said, okay, guess what? I'm going to do what I feel like doing. Y'all can just, I don't care if you burn, you know.
You weren't elected to do what you want to do. You were elected
to lead
the people.
Right, to lead the people.
You weren't elected to lead. You were elected to represent.
Yes, I was. No, you got it all wrong, son. You don't even know what it is. I'm supposed to do what I think is right, on behalf of the people.
Well, this is the age-old debate, isn't it? Do representatives, are they there to do what they feel is right for people, or are they there to just simply to just do the bidding of the people?
No, we're here. I'll do the bidding of the people as long. See, I would do the bidding of the people if they write me a letter, a fan letter that got more than just a lot of complaining.
Yeah, the fan mail we get.
How do you deserve a fan letter?
No, you know what I mean.
We're talking about the letters that we get from people, like the fan mail.
It's not fan mail. It's constituent mail.
Well, yeah, but it's the same thing, right? And they'll say that...
No, it's not the same thing.
And they say to me, excuse me, when are we going to get that veteran center? And I wrote the lady back. I said, we're going to get the veteran center, but don't get pushy. See, she was pushing me. And then she said, but I love you because you voted against Martin Luther King. I said, we got a black president. You're going to publicize that all over hell, all over hell's hat creation? I said, you know what? You deserve...
Yeah. See, that's bad.
That lady thought she was giving you a compliment. She thought she was giving you a compliment. Okay, Chip, is that it?
Yeah, that's it. I just
thanks very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Go over to Dustin. Dustin, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Kurt Creedy and Guy Barton. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Phil. I've been listening to this conversation for a while, and I really got to say, is this like you know, representative is pretty much self-explanatory. They're there to represent the people, and it doesn't sound like they're doing a very good job, especially when I hear white trash come out of this guy's mouth.
Let me finish.
All right, you've been talking. Let me have my say, and then I'll go.
I don't think you understand.
All right, you're acting like a child.
Let the guy do it.
I've been serving my country for 10 years, and I've been called every negative thing up and down the board, all right? But it doesn't stop me from wanting to serve my country, all right? You get in there,
what do you do?
You get people calling you duty head and whatever else you want to call it, and you're going to sit there and go, oh, no, now we're just going to do whatever the heck we want to. You know, I mean, you demand respect, but yet I haven't heard one thing come out of your mouth that deserves it.
Are you a jarhead? What you do?
Don't call him a jarhead. What do you do, Dustin? Sorry.
I'm in the Coast Guard.
Oh, Coast Guard.
A meathead.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not a jarhead. That's a meathead.
No,
well,
it's
look,
not a
don't
meathead.
Call them names, all right?
See,
so you're in the Coast Guard.
I mean, and then this is the type of ignorance that's getting elected into our political office. And it just
Coast
blows
Guard
me away. I mean, you call yourself educated, and you don't even know what I do.
Yes, I am educated. I do know what I'm doing. I'm just not the Coast Guard.
You call yourself educated. You know, and it's depressing to see this, but, I mean...
I want
to
ask this man a question.
Some lady says something that you don't like, and then you're going to go hurt other people because you don't like what she said. This other guy comes online.
We want to do the Veterans Center.
You're going to continue to...
We're going to do the Veterans Center. We are going to do the Veterans Center, but we're pushing it back 2 weeks because she opened a big bazoo about Martin Luther King. I can't have that.
Honestly, help me understand this, then. Why are you pushing it back? Because she said something that you didn't like. Why are you pushing that back? I don't get it.
What happened was this. I voted against Martin Luther King Day a long time ago.
Okay.
And she liked that, and she brought that up as a good thing, and I told her, you old... I called her a cow. I shouldn't have done that. But I said, you old cow. You know, I'm sure you understand. I said, why'd you bring that up now? Because we've got a black president. And she said, I thought it was a good thing. I said, well, you just carved the Veterans Center a new you-know-what. I said, I'm going to push that back 2 weeks. Look at what you did. Look at the mess you made, see?
Well, why would you punish the veterans, though? The veterans are the guys that don't...
He hasn't made a mess. You're the one making a mess of this.
Made a mess? But now you're in the Coast Guard. You don't get to come to Veterans Center.
Why not?
Yeah, I do.
The guys that... don't you guys get to win a lesson like that?
This man is in the Coast Guard. These guys are part of our armed forces.
Yeah, but they give out swimming lessons, too.
And then, if you had served in the military, then you would know what we're talking about. But you haven't, and so you don't know.
Yeah, but
what I'm trying to say is...
Does the Coast Guard give high-diving lessons?
What now?
Does the Coast Guard give springboard lessons, things like that? You don't do that?
Yeah. See, this is ignorance, man. You're a politician.
Cannibal.
Are you guys kidding or something?
I want to eat the man. Don't they sponsor the cannonball contest?
That's the Coast Guard. It's not the Red Cross. They're not giving Thank you very much, Dustin, for your call.
Oh, man, this guy's a
I rolled my son in a swimming class. That was Coast Guard.
No, it ain't the Coast. It's the Red. Thank you very much, and thank you for your service to our country. Coast Guard is a great branch of the United States military. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. More of your calls coming up next.
Well, that just ain't right.
Phil Hendry.
Cannonball, cannonball.
Bertha Lewis is an acorn, yeah. And Newt Gingrich, who's he?
He's the guy that was... Well, I know I like him because of what he says. The things what he represents. I know he's against Obama. That's the reason why I like him.
Yeah, see, yeah, he doesn't understand.
I do. I don't want a communism, which is where we're going.
Oh, will you knock it off with the communism thing?
It is. It is. If you read about it, you'll know.